Hello, and welcome to the Over 50 Health and Wellness Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin English. I'm a certified personal trainer and nutrition coach, and my mission is to help you get into the best shape of your life, regardless of your age, so you can show up in life as the healthiest, strongest, most vital version of yourself. I want to let you know that all month long in October, I have open enrollment for my Holiday Accountability Program. This is a program that runs from November 1st to December 31st and is designed to help keep you on track through the holiday season to ensure you meet your nutrition and exercise goals. Whether your goals are simply not to pack on those excess holiday pounds, or you're trying to lose weight or get stronger. It's free to join, and all you have to do to enroll is send me an email at coach@silveredgefitness.com stating that you want in. You can check out all the details to see what's included over at silveredgefitness.com/holiday. Today we have another edition of the Coach's Corner, so no guest today, it's just me, and we'll be back next week with our regular interview format. But here's what we're covering in today's short episode. I start out by talking about some of my favorite fitness resources from back when I was just starting out on my health and fitness journey. And then I spend some time discussing why getting 8 hours of healthy sleep consistently is so vitally important. So if you're ready, let's get right to it. Last week, I talked about why I'm so passionate about fitness, and I briefly discussed my transformation from very unhealthy to now at age 57, being in the best shape of my life. And I wanted to share with you folks some of the resources that really helped me on my fitness journey early on. So it's probably no surprise to anyone listening to this podcast that there's a ton of information floating around on the internet and other places regarding nutrition and exercise. And unfortunately, a lot of it is complete crap. It's garbage. There seems to be no shortage of quick fixes and overly convoluted solutions, whether you want to gain muscle or lose fat. The tricky part, at least for me, was wading through all of this information and trying to decipher the gold nugget from the fool's gold, so to speak. But a pivotal moment in my journey happened in a very unlikely manner. I was a member at a Globo gym. I was still a long way from being healthy, fit, or strong, but at least I was trying. And I suppose I was a member at this particular gym for close to a year at this point. And in this rather large gym, we only had 2 squat racks, and they were generally available, at least at the time of day that I went. And in the entire time that I'd been there, I would dutifully do the barbell squat. And at the time, I tried to copy what I saw other gym members doing, which is to say, I was a half repper. I would load up my barbell, do a third of a squat, or maybe a half squat on a good day, and stand it back up. And I'd do that for my 10 reps, and then I'd rest for a minute or two, and then I'd repeat a couple more times. But one day, I saw a guy in the squat rack, and he was doing full ass to grass squats. That is, his hips sank past parallel to below his knees. Keep in mind that I'd been in this gym for close to a year at this point, and I'd never seen anything like this. And I remember I was convinced at the time thinking that he was doing this exercise incorrectly and was going to get hurt. I immediately Googled something along the lines of dangers of a deep squat or something like that. And somehow one of the search results that popped up was how to correctly perform a squat with a barbell. And it was, in fact, the full squat with the full range of motion. And up until this point, my leg day routine consisted of the aforementioned half rep barbell squats, and then the obligatory round on the machines. You know, the leg extension, the hamstring curl, the calf machine, and maybe if I was feeling particularly plucky that day, the leg press. Now, mind you, there's nothing at all wrong with any of these machines, and at the time, I was certainly better served with my leg day routine than I would have been sitting at home on the couch. But I decided then and there that I was going to do proper squats. And in my internet research, I found a book called Starting Strength, Basic Barbell Training by a guy named Mark Ripito. I ordered the book online, and when it came in, I devoured it. I read it cover to cover, and then I went back and reread certain sections. This book is basically a textbook on learning proper form for the squat, the overhead press, the deadlift, the bench press, and even the power clean. So, armed with this new academic information, I headed back into the gym for my next leg day. I can't remember what I was half rep squatting back then, but maybe it was up to 225 pounds. So on this day, I loaded up my barbell with a paltry 135 pounds. And I got absolutely buried at the bottom of my first rep. All those leg days, and I wasn't strong enough to properly squat 135 pounds. Now, fortunately, the safety bar saved me from having to clang those weights onto the floor behind me at the time. And after embarrassingly looking around, making sure that nobody saw this travesty, I ashamedly stripped the weight off the barbell. So here I am at the gym, and instead of my two big, manly 45-pound plates on each side of the barbell, I have these two tiny 10-pound plates on each side. And these two 10-pound plates were so small that they honestly made the barbell look ridiculous to me. But that was the appropriate weight for me. So I swallowed my pride. I did make a quick check to ensure that none of the uber-fit guys or gals were looking my way. And I started my very slow journey of lifting with proper form and getting legitimately stronger through a full range of motion. The next important resource from those early days came to me in the form of a podcast, and that was the Muscle for Life podcast with Mike Matthews. Mike had a great way of uncomplicating workouts and introduced me to the concept of progressive overload for hypertrophy and how to actually program for this. At this point, I was flitting from program to program every month or so. I started with the basic strength programming from the book Starting Strength, and then my ADHD would kick in and I'd follow a new program that I found online or in a magazine. And I eventually bought a copy of Mike's book titled Bigger, Leaner, Stronger: The Simple Science of Building the Ultimate Male Body. And this book taught me the basics of exercise programming, and I eventually went on to buy his follow-on book titled Beyond Bigger, Leaner, Stronger: The Advanced Guide to Building Muscle, Staying Lean, and Getting Strong. And I suppose this was the beginning of my fascination with exercise programming. I read what Mike had to say about programming and then went back and reread the programming section in Mark Ripito's Starting Strength. I eventually found my way to the book Practical Programming for Strength Training by Mark Ripito and Andy Baker, which was a deep dive into exercise programming. And I'll put all of these books and podcasts and other things into the show notes here, and you can find those over at silveredgefitness.com/episode80. And as a side note, Mike Matthews also wrote an excellent programming book titled Thinner, Leaner, Stronger: The Simple Science of Building the Ultimate Female Body, aimed at programming, of course, specifically for women. I suppose the next resource that had a major influence on my early journey was the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast. I can't remember how I stumbled onto this one, but prior to finding this gem, I basically thought of health and wellness as either or. In other words, either you are healthy or you are unhealthy. I hadn't really considered health and wellness as a spectrum, and I certainly hadn't been exposed to advanced concepts such as biohacking and working towards extraordinary or almost superhuman fitness and wellness. Ben was, and he still is, always pushing the boundaries of what's possible, and he's an avid consumer of cutting-edge research. So I credit these three early resources, primarily Mark Ripito and his Starting Strength book, Mike Matthews and his podcast and books, and Ben Greenfield and his podcast and prolific online blogs, for really helping me cut through all of the exercise noise and laying this solid educational foundation that I could build upon. But I was still missing two major pieces of the health and wellness puzzle, and that's nutrition and recovery. So I had some limited experience with the power of food on my body. I had experimented with veganism and I had cut out all gluten for a while, but I was still unsure of what I should eat for optimal health. I got introduced to paleo and that really appealed to me, I suppose mostly because it sounded cool, but that was my introduction to the key of unlocking the mystery of optimal nutrition, and that was the power of whole foods. Now, I was never an actual adherent to the paleo diet, and I found products like paleo ice cream and cookies to be absolutely absurd, but the idea of eating like our ancestors appealed to me, and I really started examining what it was that I was eating. Statistics tell us that the average American's diet is made up of 70% processed and ultra-processed foods. And I suppose there was a time when I certainly fit in with that crowd. But as I started moving away from processed foods, especially ultra-processed carbs and prioritizing healthy proteins and fats, my health and my body responded amazingly. I was stronger, I was fitter, and I had more energy. And somewhere in my mid-50s, my abs started to become visible for the first time in my life. I don't really remember any single source that was instrumental for me on my nutrition path, but I devoured everything and anything I could find on optimal nutrition. I learned about cell biology and energy systems, about gut health and digestion, about hunger-regulating hormones and the role of carbs and insulin in the body. And then the final piece of the puzzle was the recovery piece. And not so much recovery in the sense of not overtraining and being recovered enough for your next workout, although that certainly is important, but more the criticality of adequate sleep and stress reduction. Again, I read everything I could get my hands on, and I learned how important sleep and recovery were to optimal health. And this eventually led to me getting certified as a personal trainer, a CrossFit coach, and a nutrition coach. And I'm still learning today. It's a lifelong passion and journey. In fact, I was speaking with Dan John the other day, and he's basically the godfather of strength and conditioning, and he referenced a few books that were instrumental in his own journey that were written in the 1960s, and I'll be seeking those out to add to my growing library. Oh, and if you happen to be a Dan John fan, he'll be making an appearance here on this podcast soon. Today, I still reference Starting Strength, and I listen to Mark Ripito's podcast. I also occasionally drop in and still listen to Ben Greenfield and Mike Matthews' podcasts. I seek out and I read new material on all of these subjects, and I get to invite subject matter experts here onto this show and have amazing discussions with them. And these days, I never miss an episode of Dan John's weekly podcast, and I never miss an episode of my all-time favorite daily podcast, Mind Pump. So let's talk about the importance of sleep. Sleep is one of the most overlooked aspects of sustainable weight loss and muscle building. The Center for Disease Control reports that about 30% of adults don't get enough sleep. But getting quality sleep can help us lose fat, gain muscle, regulate blood sugar and hormones, as well as regulate our hunger and our appetite. And the exact opposite happens when we don't get enough sleep. Let's talk about two of the most overlooked aspects of sleep, and that's healthy weight loss and muscle building. Let's start with weight loss. Research shows us that there is a positive correlation between getting adequate sleep, typically 8 hours a night, and healthy metabolic markers, including body weight and BMI. Now, there is still some debate in the scientific community about the exact causal relationship between these two things, but the evidence clearly indicates that people who have healthy sleep habits have better body composition and vice versa. One of the leading theories has to do with your hunger-regulating hormones, ghrelin and leptin. Ghrelin signals our brain that we're hungry and need to eat, while leptin does the opposite. It signals the brain that we are full. And studies have shown that not getting enough sleep throws these two important hormones out of whack. Getting less than 7 hours of sleep may increase ghrelin and decrease leptin. And in fact, some studies have shown that getting inadequate sleep can affect our food choices the next day, causing people to choose foods that are higher in calories and higher in carbohydrates. And you probably don't need scientific studies to prove this to you. Most of us have experienced getting a crappy night's sleep and then making poor food choices the next day. But chronically undersleeping can lead to a host of metabolic problems, including weight gain. Okay, so consistently getting a good night's sleep can help us obtain and maintain a healthy body weight. But how does sleep help us build muscle? Before we dig into that, let's take a quick look at what sleep actually is. Most of us are familiar with the term REM sleep, and REM stands for rapid eye movement, but there are actually four stages of a healthy sleep cycle, and these cycles repeat themselves several times during the night. Let's briefly look at each of these stages. Stage 1 sleep. So stage 1 sleep, this is the first stage of sleep, and it's your transition between wakefulness and sleeping. And during this phase, your brain activity and your heart rate slow down, and your body and your muscles move into a relaxed state. This stage normally lasts 5 to 10 minutes. Stage 2 sleep. In stage 2 sleep, our body temperature drops, our eye movements stop, and our heart rate and breathing become slow and regular. We typically spend 10 to 60 minutes per cycle in this phase, and phase 2 sleep usually makes up about 50% of our total sleep. It's also during this phase that we begin producing bursts of quick, rhythmic brainwave activity known as sleep spindles. And it's believed that these sleep spindles are important for memory consolidation, and this is when your brain begins processing new memories and things you learned from the day before. Stage 3 sleep. This is where the magic starts happening from a muscle-building perspective. Stage 3 sleep is also commonly referred to as SWS, or slow wave sleep, as well as delta, or deep sleep. And this is when you are most soundly asleep, and it's during this phase that your muscles are completely relaxed and your blood pressure drops. It's also in this phase that your body begins its physical repairs and maintenance. We secrete our growth hormone, as well as bolster our immune systems. This phase typically lasts about 20 to 40 minutes per cycle and is the phase most responsible for waking up feeling refreshed the following day. Stage 4 sleep. This is the REM stage of sleep, and during this period, your muscles become temporarily immobilized, breathing becomes faster and more irregular, and of course, your eye begins moving rapidly. It's in the REM phase that we dream, and it's believed that this is when we process and store emotions from the day before. This is also where we cement information into memory, which makes it a critical stage for learning. REM sleep typically lasts between 10 and 60 minutes per cycle. Once we complete a full cycle, we go back to start at stage 2 again and repeat this cycle about 4 or 5 times total in a night. Okay. So now we have a basic understanding of the mechanics of sleep, let's talk about why that matters for muscle building. You probably see this coming, but stage 3 and 4 of sleep is when the muscle building magic happens. It's during these phases of sleep that our bodies secrete bone and muscle strengthening hormones, and our cells are being repaired and rebuilt. Now, remember when I told you that we typically spend 20 to 40 minutes per cycle in phase 3 deep sleep and about 10 to 60 minutes per cycle in phase 4 REM sleep? Not surprisingly, we want to maximize our time in these cycles. In other words, we want to get as much deep and REM sleep per cycle as possible in order to get these great muscle building benefits, as well as all the memory processing and learning benefits. Now, many of us believe that we're building muscle when we're at the gym going through our grueling workout routines. But in reality, the exact opposite is happening. When we exercise, particularly when we're performing resistance training, and for most people that's lifting weights, we're actually breaking down muscle. We're creating micro tears in our muscle cells. And it's during sleep, specifically phase 3 and phase 4 sleep, that we repair and rebuild these muscles. So let's recap. Getting adequate quality sleep, and the gold standard is 8 hours, can help us lose weight and maintain healthy body composition as well as build muscle. And we know we really want to prioritize the time we spend in our deep sleep and REM cycles. But just how do we do that? And the answer is to develop healthy, consistent sleep hygiene habits. Here are some tips to help you maximize your sleep efficiency. Number one is sleep consistency. Try to set a regular bedtime and wake time for every day of the week, including weekends. Many of us have a fairly routine bed and wake time during the week, and then drastically different sleep patterns on the weekends. As much as possible, try to keep bed and wake times consistent throughout the week. Number two, turn off the electronics. Best practices here mean turning off all electronics at least an hour before bedtime. While all lighting can negatively affect our circadian rhythms and therefore our sleep, blue light, the light emitted by your TV and mobile devices, is particularly harmful to sleep. And blue light in particular suppresses the secretion of melatonin. Melatonin is a hormone produced in the brain naturally in response to darkness, and lying in bed and scrolling through your phone or watching television suppresses the secretion of this sleepy time hormone. If you absolutely can't stand the thought of no electronics before bed, you might try considering blue blocking glasses. While these have become wildly popular lately, the science is still skeptical on the efficacy of blue blocking glasses and their ability to restore healthy sleep after viewing electronic devices while wearing these glasses. Number three, keep your bedroom cool and dark. So keep your sleeping space as dark as possible while sleeping. Consider using blackout curtains and cover any LED lights that may be glowing. Bedside analog clocks are better than digital clocks. Research consistently confirms that optimal sleeping temperature is about 65 degrees Fahrenheit, about 18.3 degrees Celsius. Of course, individual temperatures may vary, but many people are surprised by just how cool the temperature should be for optimal sleeping. Number four, have a pre-sleep ritual. Many people find that having a short prayer, meditation, or gratitude practice is helpful for winding down from the day and improving sleep. Another great idea is to journal or read, but read an actual book, not on an electronic device, before bed. Number four, avoid caffeine late in the day. Now, this one seems fairly obvious, but it's worth mentioning. The half-life of caffeine, that is how long it takes your body to fully metabolize caffeine, is about 4 to 6 hours. And caffeine consumption later in the day specifically reduces phase three deep sleep cycle times. And as we just learned, we want to do everything we can to maximize this important muscle building and restorative phase. Number six, avoid alcohol. Alcohol is a central nervous system depressant that causes brain activity to slow down, as clearly evidenced by the behavior of some drinkers. And it also has a sedative effect that can make us feel relaxed and sleepy. And while it is true that alcohol can help us fall asleep faster, alcohol drastically shortens both our phase three and phase four sleep cycles. And alcohol remains in your blood for approximately 6 hours. I'm not advocating day drinking here, but having drinks in the evening, especially more than one or two, will in fact disrupt your sleep. Number seven, avoid carbs before bedtime. So there's some conflicting information in terms of carbohydrates and their effects on sleep. Some studies do show that eating carbohydrates close to bedtime can facilitate falling asleep faster, but other studies show that eating carbs, especially highly refined or processed carbohydrates before bed, can reduce your phase three deep sleep cycle time. So the takeaway here is to maybe skip that late night ice cream or cookie snack, but a healthy, wholesome whole food choices are probably fine. Number eight is to strength train. Regularly participating in vigorous training, especially strength training, helps increase phase three deep sleep cycle time. And this makes sense since we know one of the primary functions of deep sleep is the secretion of growth hormone and cell repair, and a regular strength training regime should help beat our phase three sleep. Number nine, while we want to do regular strength training, we absolutely don't want to overtrain. We need to be careful that we're not overtraining, and that is that we're working out too frequently or too intensely. While this may seem a bit counterintuitive on the surface, consistently overtraining is counterproductive to healthy sleep. Our job is to find that sweet spot between working out enough to give our body that strong muscle growth signal and simply doing more than our bodies can recover from. I always ask my clients how they are sleeping, and deteriorating sleep could be an early indicator that they are, in fact, overtraining. If you're not doing any of the above tips, consider incorporating these into a pre-bed routine. But before we finish our discussion on healthy sleep, I want to mention biotracking devices. There's a ton of different sleep tracking devices on the market, and I myself wear a Whoop strap that measures, among other things, the amount of REM and deep sleep I get nightly, and it has reports to show me how those things are trending over time, but there's lots of options. Apple Watches, Fitbits, Muse, Biostraps, just to name a few. Some, like the Whoop and the Muse headband, are more accurate in tracking sleep cycles, while others, like the Apple Watch and the Fitbit, are a bit less accurate. But here's the thing, if you're using a biotracking device to monitor your sleep, treat that information for what it is. It's just one piece of information in your overall health and wellness puzzle. That being said, these devices are great for learning trends over time. I've personally found that when I consistently read before bed, that is on a real book, my REM sleep improves. Similarly, when I consistently meditate in the mornings, my REM sleep typically increases. And I can clearly see how drinking alcohol obliterates both my deep and REM sleep. So I'll leave you with this. Everybody knows that wonderful feeling of waking up refreshed and ready to take on the world after a great night's sleep. And we all know that crappy feeling of lethargy and weak willpower from a lousy night's sleep. Sleep is one of the most underrated forms of body weight control and muscle building. So spend some time examining your sleep habits and finding ways to lengthen your phase 3 deep sleep and your phase 4 REM cycles. Okay, that's our show for today, folks. I'll put links to everything we talked about in the show notes, and you can find that over at silveredgefitness.com/episode80. And don't forget to check out silveredgefitness.com/holiday for all the details on my holiday accountability program. I'd love to see you join us for this great program. In the meantime, I'd love to hear from you. You can always leave a comment on this episode page, or feel free to email me with any comments or a question from today's show, and you can email me at coach@silveredgefitness.com. You can always show your support for this show by telling a friend about this podcast, or by leaving me a 5-star review on whatever platform you listen to podcasts on. I want to thank you so much for spending your time with me today. I'll be back next week with my regular interview format. So until next time, stay strong.